All right, what's up, guys? We are back with another podcast episode this week. I am your host, Chris Olson, and this is my co-host, Pickleball Will. I actually said it correct this week.
No, you said it incorrectly. You said it incorrectly. I think you need to do this over, Chris.
You want to know why I actually have to say it now? Because someone at the U.S. Open came up to me and they were like, okay, so which one are you? Because my husband is always playing it and I'm listening and I don't know who is who. So now I feel like I actually have to say it because there are people who don't know.
All right. At not the US Open, but at Nationals, somebody came up to me and was like, hey, where's your assistant? And I'm like, and then we weren't sure if she was joking or not. Like me and your brother and stuff were there. And then maybe she thought I was you. And then she thought Will was actually the assistant, right? But she's like, you're Will though, right? And I'm like, yep. And so obviously she clearly thought Chris was the assistant. And I thought that was the funniest thing.
You know, I have to tell this story. This was really funny at the US Open.
Yeah.
Someone came up to me and I was with a group of friends from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We were all staying together. So we were all watching each other's matches. And I have another friend who is Asian. Uh-huh. And probably similar skin tone color to you. Okay. And like, so darker than me. And yeah. He comes up to me and what did he was like, oh, hey, Chris. And then he was like, oh, is this Will? And everyone in the group starts laughing. And we're like, no, that's not Will. It's just one of my friends. Man. But he pauses and he goes, dang, that was a bit racist of me. I'm sorry.
It wasn't racist necessarily. He just couldn't tell. That's all. So, you know,
I did laugh. I thought it was very funny.
You guys, you know what you should do next time is that you should just go, and if there happens to be another Asian within your group, you just tell everybody else in the group, if somebody confuses said person who is Asian as Will, everybody else just go along with it. Just, yeah. And then whoever is Asian, just be like, you know, pretend like you're Pickleball Will. It's going to be all right. Will will love it. Will gave you permission to do that.
I will let them know next time for sure.
Okay, good.
Lovely. Okay, anyways, so this week we're going to be talking about the Gen 3 YOLAs, just some stuff mm-hmm. since the paddle has launched that I want to go over a bit more in depth, especially now that I've gotten to play with them more. I also want to talk about the trip to the U.S. Open. You weren't there, but I did mm-hmm. compete in a few events, so there's some fun stories from that. And then you've also tested some paddles, and then we have a little quick story in the kitchen or debate slash thought that I want to go over. So that's what we're chatting about this week.
All right. Yeah, no. Awesome. For you guys watching right now, you may see that the background looks a little different. I have some guests over and my regular studio space has been taken over by none other than Jeff Lee Pickleball. He came in town to visit to celebrate me for my birthday weekend, and his stuff is all over my studio space, and I was like, I'm not gonna move everything to set up for the pot. So yeah, I'm in a different room in my house right now.
I can't believe you let that guy, the guy who has thrown like every tournament that you've played with him, let him take the studio office. I don't know if Jeff has earned the studio spot yet. Like maybe he might have earned like the patio out front, like your doorstep or something, but I don't know, Jeff.
Well, you can tell him when you see him next. And I don't know, he might have just walked through the door because my friend's dog is just barking up a storm right now. I don't know if you could hear it or not, but
no, totally couldn't hear it. Anyways, all right, one thing I want to go over with the new Gen 3 YOLAs. So I had this hunch for probably the last month, ever since I got the alphas, that, and this is about Ben and Colin and whether or not mm-hmm. they are using them. This is not 100% confirmed, But I can say with pretty high confidence that they are just using paint job Gen 2s because, first of all, their paddles sound nothing like it. I think plenty of people have been talking about that now. But it becomes so obvious when you watch a match with Ben and Colin and then the other team has a YOLA on it. So in the finals today, mm-hmm. it was the John Bros versus Tyson and Jaume. And Tyson is obviously using the Magnus. And their paddles sound nothing like the Magnus. And now before I had the Alpha, I didn't know if the cores were different. And now that I know they're all the same and they all make roughly the same noise, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, it's so obvious you're not using it. So it's like tennis. This is the I think it's happened before, but this is the first major time I have seen just a paint job of an old iteration that the pro is using.
Yeah, no, that's totally true. I mean, they didn't say it, you know, when I talked to them at the event, but they alluded to the fact or the point that they don't use the new paddles. You kind of asked them, like, oh, what do you think about it? It's like, yeah, they're pretty powerful. You know, I'd like to stay dialed in. You know, they say things of that nature that just, they're not 100%, I guess, fully on board by their tone and the word choices they use. I'm like, okay, yeah, they're definitely using the older models. And yeah, like you said, you can hear it. And out of all of the paddles, out of all the new Gen 3s, I actually think Tyson's, the Magnus 16, is the most poppy out of all of them. That's my opinion.
Interesting. We will definitely circle back to that in a minute, because that is something I kind of want to talk about a little bit. But I'd be curious to know if they're not used to it yet. Probably not that, since they've had the ability to use it for the last 4, maybe 5 months. Yeah. Or if they just don't like it, which is perfectly reasonable. You know, not everyone's going to like these paddles. It's not definitively better for every player, so I think that's totally fine. But I'd just be curious, like, this is the first time I think I've really ever seen in pickleball where, like, the newer model of the same thing was not the preferred one. Almost every time the new one is the better one
for the pros.
Yeah, almost every time. There's of course some pros using older models, but a mm-hmm. lot of times the newer one is better.
I mean, yeah, it's just not their game. That's not what the Johns Bros are about. You know, they're about control and steadiness. So it makes sense that they wouldn't use this. And like you said, you can hear it. It is, yeah. If you're there in person, even on TV, it's noticeable. You can distinguish between the old one and the new one because the pitch and the sound is very, very different.
But yeah. The new ones make like a thud noise, whereas the old ones, they sound literally like every other pickleball paddle on the market.
And the new ones sound like a thump. I sent some clips to some of my buddies around here, even the review, and they're like, thump, 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 just, you know, you're just thumping away, you know, there's no, like a pock sound,
yeah.
Just a thump. And yep. Yeah, that's how I know. When I hear that, I'm like, oh gosh, I kind of get ready. I kind of tense up a little bit, I'm not going to lie.
Yes. Okay, well, let's talk about, we can kind of go back to what you were talking about with what you thought was the poppiest or most powerful, because I've had some interesting thoughts about this that have been not a lot of people have these paddles yet,
yeah.
But I can only imagine that my opinion is not going to be the popular one on this, well, but we'll see.
Let's dive first into, before we kind of get into it, what's your favorite out of the bunch? There's technically 8, right? We have 4 shapes, each in a 16 millimeter and a 14 millimeter. So which one is your favorite? Like, let's run. Give me your top 3.
So far, I have narrowed. First of all, my preference at the moment is all of the 14 millimeter variants, and I think, I don't know what is exactly 1, 2, and 3 yet, but the Scorpius 14 and the Hyperion 14, I'm enjoying a lot. And even though I'm not a giant fan of Tyson's shape in general, because I like to put 2 hands on the paddle, I can still put 2 hands on it, but it's a little less comfortable. I actually was enjoying using the Magnus as well. Like, I've tested that a decent amount, and I never found myself saying, dang, like, I just really don't like this thing. Like, can I please put it down now?
Yeah. Okay. That's funny, because I'm the opposite. I think I prefer all of the 16s over the 14s easily. And my favorite is actually Tyson's, the Magnus 16. It's my favorite, but it's like to play with. I think it's the most fun and the most different, but it's not the one I would take to a tournament to compete with. Like, if I'm
playing, which one would that be?
That would probably be, it'd be a toss up between the Hyperion shape or the Perseus shape. Those, they're almost neck and neck. I had to pick one of them, I think I would choose the Hyperion. To me, it just feels a little bit faster in the hands, for me, but almost not much. They're almost interchangeable to me. But I have the most fun with the Magnus 16. And also, if I had to play with one, and the one that's the most controllable for me is the Scorpius 16. I know some of you guys out there, have you watched my, I guess, kind of initial thoughts on the Yola paddles, the new Gen 3s? Some of you asked me what I think about the Scorpius ones, and I played a lot with Anna Bryce, the 14 miller. I didn't care for it that much, and then I got more time with the Scorpius 16, and the Scorpius 16, I think, is the one that's I can easily, more easily adapt to, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah. No, that makes sense. And now what I was saying earlier about mine and why I think my opinion probably won't be the popular one is, for me, all of the 14 millimeters are way, way, way easier to use. Like, I can pick those up and they're not easy paddles to use, but I have a much easier time transitioning to it. And then every time I go to the 16 variants, it's too poppy. Resetting becomes difficult. Like, the ball doesn't feel as predictable. And that's been my experience this whole last month. And as I'm getting more time with the production models, I'm finding that to be the exact same scenario. Now, I keep telling people, and I said this in my Gen 3, my launch video, was like, people should probably still choose the 16 millimeter because the 14 millimeter sweet spot's going to be smaller. So I think a lot of people will benefit from having the higher twist weight of the 16s. And I think the 16s probably will feel better for most people. And I think I am going to be one of the odd ones out that actually finds the 14s easier to use. I have one friend here who today I let him try both, and I said nothing. I just let him hit them, gave him the 14, and then I handed him the 16, and he was like, dude, I can't use the 16. He's like, it's too poppy. It launches the ball too much. So I'm curious to see where most people fall in the spectrum, because that's not normal. I've never, ever felt this way about a 14 millimeter being easier.
Huh. That's very interesting. Do you think it's the timing? Because I remember when I first picked up the Perseus 14, I thought I was going to like it. Right, the Perseus 14 Gen 3, and I don't know, I felt the timing was off. The way it came off the paddle was just odd to me. It was not that familiar. It didn't quite feel, I was expecting a more responsive feedback, and it still felt kind of plush, and then, I don't know, it felt like it dwelled on the paddle a lot longer, so that in combination with the feel was just wonky. And I felt like my balls were spraying or going just a little bit further than where I was aiming. It didn't feel like it was going where I felt like it should go, where the ball should go. That's just how I felt about it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I'm curious, as I spend more time with it, if my opinion will change. I don't think it will. I feel like I have enough time, but I'm trying to figure out why on earth I feel the way I do. It like makes it hard to recommend. Like, people in my Discord keep asking, they're like, 16 millimeter or 14 millimeter, and I'm like, well, for me it's 14, but I think for most people it's going to be 16, and I think that's probably the answer I'm going to stick with. I just think I'm probably a weird one on this, but yeah, I don't know, I really, really like all the 14s and think they play great. I think the lighter swing weight is more fun for me. I think they're probably a little poppier at the net, and I think the big thing is, to me, what it feels like is the 16s, if you take a really big swing, you get more power overall out of it, which is probably due to higher swing weight and also maybe more foam and being thicker. It like it does dwell and kind of spring off more, kind of like a trampoline.
Yes.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Also, you said you like the Scorpia shape more overall than the more elongated shapes?
At the moment, I could probably use the Hyperion and the Scorpius like interchangeable. I don't know if I've fully decided if I hard prefer one of them yet.
Okay. I will say, I think out of that springboard like effect, it is the most notable in the Magnus, which is why I think it's the most fun, because it feels different. Because, you know, you see it's made out of foam, right? And it's in the first perimeter. The foam doesn't go all around the whole entire paddle face. So I think you or John Q or one of us, maybe it was Braden, said it's like a diving board, like the spring off of a diving board. And if you think about it, I guess the Magnus shape would have the longest diving board. So if you jump off near the end, there's more spring, right? It trampolines a little bit further, right? Whereas in the Scorpius, since, you know, there's less foam, less like a shorter board, it feels less powerful, which is why I think the Scorpius are a little bit easier to use, and they feel, I guess, in my opinion, the closest to the regular Thermoform Gen 2s that we might have. And I don't know. I think that's why the Magnus is a lot of fun. And also, you can choke up on the Magnus, and because of that extra, you know, pop and power it has, you can do some strokes that you normally wouldn't do in pickleball. Not that you wouldn't do them, but you can choke up on it and kind of hit like looping forehands, kind of like you do in table tennis. Right?
Sure.
And it works. Like, I can Batman and do my scoop shots super easy with the Magnuson, which is why I think it's the most fun.
So we're going to come back to that because there's a few things I want to go over for. Actually, you know what? Screw it. We can, I'm looking at the notes. We can just jump ahead and I'll rearrange these. Okay. So what's interesting about why that probably works is these for sure get more spin than anything I have ever hit. And that is, that was clearly evident by John's tests where some or one of his paddles was nearly hitting 2,500 RPM. It was like 10 or 20 RPM off. And I didn't bother testing a bunch of mine because I mentioned in my video, like a lot of them didn't pass the Starrett that I have. Obviously I'm not NTS or the USAP lab, but they didn't pass for me. So I was like, well, it doesn't make sense to like publish numbers on a paddle that wasn't passing, but it seems like a lot of them might be like that. People are talking about how gritty theirs are and it sticks to their shirt and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, that they combined are. With the extra dwell time, no wonder you can get away with looping that stuff. Like you can hit, some of the shots you can hit are just stupid.
Yeah, no, they're ridiculous. How many RPMs on average does John get more than yours in his results and your results?
I would say consistently he's about 100 to 200 higher than me.
Yeah. He's also, I think, the same with me, at least when Brayden brought out the radar gun that they were using. We were hitting the same paddles, and John got 200 more RPMs than me every single time. And
yeah,
even when I was like trying to generate RPMs, I think that's just with our stroke style. And I'd be very curious to see if, if that is kind of like the norm. I should go, next time I visit you, I should just hit a bunch of, like, a few different random paddles and see what my RPMs are and see if there's an average, if I'm above or below yours, and also next to John as well. And then what I found very interesting was that with the Scorpius, I think 14, the Anna Bright, I hit with that and I only got like, and this one was super great, I only got like 1600 RPM with that. But then when I switched over to like the Perseus or the Hyperion, I got like 400 more.
That's odd.
Yeah, but Anna Bryce was like super gritty. I was just like, what? Like I just couldn't generate as much spin with it for whatever reason.
Your technique's not dialed on the squares, I guess.
I guess not. I don't know.
And you know what else is interesting about this is, so I've now seen different grit levels. John mentioned this, but I can't remember if I had any like this when I got mine, but he mentioned that he had one that was more rough on one side and then not on the other side.
I had a few.
And
that
the rough side got like 2400 RPM or 2300, and then the non-rough side was like 1800. And I'm like, that's a big difference. Like you would for sure feel the difference between those. It's just like, while this is not a issue that's exclusive to YOLO, like we've seen this across many paddles. Like I've seen it with 6-0, like pretty much any top brand that has a raw carbon fiber paddle, like Pro XR, like you can name a bunch of companies, you will find this variance. It is the nature of this material and how it's currently being manufactured, but I think it's more obvious because of the volume that YOLO pushes, right? Like if you have a small brand, like let's say Vatic, I'm just going to make up a number here. I have no clue how many paddles they're actually doing, but let's say they do a batch of 1,000 paddles. You're peel ply cloth may have been consistent for that 1,000, and then you had to use a different one or whatever for the next 1,000. YOLO, it's going to be super obvious if they're doing 30,000 paddles and they had to use a bunch of different sheets to like get their peel ply done right. So it's such a problem with the industry, and I wish it would stop being an issue because I think people would have not as much issue paying these high prices for the premium brands if their QC was on point, but it's not.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then it also makes things difficult for us because, you know, we talk about spin and RPM tests and whatnot. And, you know, you and I have said it before that how much they matter once you get above a certain RPM. Like, will you notice? Will you not notice? Maybe it's good because as grit wears down, like, you can still, receive or expect a, you know, respectable amount of spin, even if you use the paddle for, you know, a couple months, right? And I don't know. It just makes it more difficult to talk about spin on these paddles if that is something that you really care about, which I don't know. I don't know how much other people out there really care about it, you know, and they focus in on it when I don't know where it makes probably very small percentage of how well like it affects their game, like, you know, in the long run, right?
Yep.
I think like it's more like technique and other things, right, than you can expect from the paddle. But I don't know. Like I said, it makes it really difficult to to talk about, and it sucks.
Yeah, it's super annoying and something I hope starts to get fixed. I think there's so many things in the pickleball industry that relate to paddles where I feel like paddle companies get a pass when they really shouldn't, or it's like, well, most people aren't going to care, so we don't really care. Like, for example, another thing that I mentioned in my video, but now I have even more paddles from Yola, is the grip sizes are all incorrect. So the 16 millimeters are supposed to be 4.25 inches around, and then the 14s are supposed to be 4 1/8 inch, and none of those are correct. The 16 millimeters are anywhere between like 4 3/8 inches up to 4.5 inches, and then the 14 millimeters are like 4.25 or just a little bit above. And I'm like, how do you mess this up? Like, I understand that maybe, yeah, I mean, maybe the grip could be a little different on the thickness, but I'm like, other brands nail this. So how are you screwing up something as basic as the grip? And I'm like, man, when you're paying $280 and now you're gambling if you get a gritty one, is the grip size right? I'm like, it's just annoying.
Or if the grip feels a little sharp, like some of those bevels feel sharp.
Yes.
Oh, you notice that on the Magnus, they feel, some of those bevels feel a lot sharper. And I'm like, ooh, this is not a great feel on it. But I mean, it doesn't bother me that much, but like I do notice it.
No, they had that issue last year, and it really annoys me compared to a lot of handles. I mean, it's not the worst feeling handle in the world. I would take that over other things. But the Hyperion that I had at the US Open, I took the original grip off and then added two over grips on top of it because the bevels were just so sharp that I was like, this is annoying me when I hold the paddle. So I was like, I need two just to like soften that up.
Yep. No, totally agree. Well, I mean, you played with it over at the US Open, which we will talk about your results in a bit. What sparked you? Is this a paddle that you're switching to, that you would like to switch to, you could see yourself playing with, or I don't know, maybe not for whatever reason?
I'm still a bit torn. So we'll talk a little bit more in depth about it later when we get to the US Open. But I got my Hyperions at the US Open because they had a Yola booth there. So they told me, they were like, hey, you can just pick them up here so that way we don't have to ship them or whatever. And I was like, okay, that works. And then the ball, we used a Franklin at the US Open and it's 85 degrees. So you can only imagine how soft that ball was. So my Huarache just felt like, it felt like it was slower than a Gen 1. I was like, you cannot do anything. So I was like, after we finished men's day, I was like, I'm just going to mess with the Hyperion. We played like two games and I was like, wow, that was super easy to use. I was like, I'll just use it for mixed. So I played two games and then went and competed with the thing and was like, had never used it prior to that and had no issues. So a lot of that had to do with the heat. And I played today and it's much colder here. It was like 50 degrees.
Yeah.
And we were using a Pro S1, so it's a stiffer ball. And I didn't have a hard time using it per se, but it was a lot different than Florida. So now I just need some more time to kind of be like, Florida's not a usual environment for me. So it's like, okay, well, I need to see how I do in a tournament here, and then I'll know. With the ball that, like, dude, with how soft the ball was in Florida, I'm like, you could use the loosest gearbox in the world and still have no issue controlling it. That's how soft the ball was. It was so stupid.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, before you know it, I mean, people have been thinking about doing this already. I've thought about doing this. It's just having a different paddle or different setup for different tournaments because of different environments, different ball, right? If you play singles, doubles, what have you. So,
yeah.
I mean, it could definitely be a thing, especially if, you know, it's going to help you get the win. And clearly it helped you get the win. So now it looks like whenever you go down to, I don't know, Texas or Florida or wherever it's 85 plus degrees, you know, you're whipping out the Yola.
It was definitely handy for that heat. But I would say there's potential for me to switch. I don't want to say that I will yet because, again, I just need to see it in more high-pressure environments that aren't Florida. But it's very good and has potential, but I want to see how the rest of it shakes out, like QC-wise and whatnot. Because I don't want to be, you know, it's funny. Like, I could have basically any paddle I want, and I could probably have as much of them as I want, but I still, like, I feel bad asking for a bunch of them. So I'm like, if these are going to break, they, I don't know if they break yet, but I'm just saying, like, let's say they break a bunch. I don't want to message Yola over and over and over and be like, I need another one. I need another one. I need another one. Like, I use, when I main a paddle, I'll just use the same one for like 3 or 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't just have like 20 of them that I just like cycle for a fresh grit or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's not what everybody probably thinks, you know? They probably think you have 10, 20 multiples of every single paddle out there.
People have definitely said that. They're like, well, it doesn't matter because Chris probably just replaces it all the time. And I'm like, dude, my double black diamond was probably like 10 months old before I finally had another one that I replaced it with. And it was just because I happened to get another one. I don't even know if I asked for it.
Yeah. Anyways. I don't think I'd switch to it. It's, like I said, it's too powerful. Jeff came and he played with one, and then I played with one. Grant came, he played with one, and as soon as there's somebody else on the other side that has it as well, it is really difficult to control or play the game. Like, you're just trying to counter back and forth, and if you happen to go to the kitchen line, it is, you're just dinking and dinking until somebody pops it up, makes a mistake, and after that it's either over or I don't know, you don't see those firefights nearly as much. Either happens really quickly and, like, you know, third shot drive and you're done, or there's a lot of dinking that's going on and somebody's waiting and everyone's scared to attack. Yeah. You know,
it's funny, the Yola is it's kind of similar to the Gearbox. I experienced this where it's really fun when you're the only one that has the paddle. Yeah. And then when other people have the paddle, you're like, this isn't fun anymore.
Exactly. And that mean that we can get into that now. Do you think that these paddles are good for the game of pickleball? And then, you know, we can kind of just talk and elaborate more on the state of the game of pickleball and where it's going. And if you think that's good, bad, or if it's going in a, I don't know, a direction that you like or not.
I'm a bit like flip-floppy on this one. I don't feel like I've picked a hard stance yet, because I'm sure we can adapt to these paddles, right? Like, if we capped it at the Gearbox and the Yola, 3 years from now, I have no doubt that people will be used to it, and I'm sure the game will mostly be fine. However, I think I would like to not see these types of paddles in the game. I think it does things and changes the game in ways that isn't necessarily better. Like, when you play other people with this, it's just a giant bang fest. Like, it doesn't feel like it's what pickleball... Okay.
Okay, continue.
I thought you had like a technical error.
I see why you did that.
I got like a 14-year-old co-host here. Jeez Louise. Holy moly.
Yo, dude, if you are watching this, you're listening to this, tell me in the comments that you didn't hear what I just heard and you had to pause right there. Somebody clip that. Somebody clip that, please.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Anyways, moving on. Yeah, it's just, it does things to the game that I don't think we really want it to go there. And I think the game is more fun when we don't have this level of power, in my opinion. I mean, you hear pros complaining about it. You're going to hear amateurs complain about it. I mean, think when we were at the Yola event. The first hour or two was everyone just like ripping balls.
Yeah, and because I was they could. And they wanted to see what they could accomplish with them.
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know, it's not that fun when every thing is a drive or a shake and bake, or I don't know. It feels like it kind of dumbs down the game in certain ways. Maybe in other ways it makes it a little better, but I don't know. I think overall you're thinking net negative for the game.
Net negative. Okay. Yeah, you're thinking at this point, why not just play tennis?
Nah, I'm definitely not there yet, but it changes in ways that I don't fully agree with. But, you know, if this is what we get stuck with, well, I guess we're stuck with it. I don't even blame Yola. Yola's not the problem here. The problem is...
it's us. We're the problem. The players out there, they just want more power. More power.
It's probably not wrong. But USAP and PPA, I'm like, you guys need to take a stance and figure out what the heck you want this game to be. Because they do all these things like, oh, we don't want the serve to be a weapon. And then we just keep allowing paddles that make it more and more of a weapon than it's ever been, ever, in the history of pickleball.
Would you rather have this pace and speed, or would you rather have the spin serve?
I think I want to say the paddle. And the only reason I say that is I think, and I was for keeping the spin serve. So let's make that clear. I liked it and my game was better for having it. But I think had we let it continue, people would have gotten, start doing some crazy grip strength exercises and gotten like some absolutely insane RPMs snapping that ball to the point where they could probably consistently get it to land near the kitchen and then just bounce into a fence. Or so I think if we had done that, it would have had probably some decently negative impacts on the game. Whereas this paddle, while it probably will also do that, I don't think it will hurt it to the same extent.
Okay. That's good. Good take. I like that.
So I don't know. We'll see. I think USAP and PPA have really messed this up. And who knows? Maybe this is what they want. But I'm like, it sure doesn't align with a lot of the rules that they try and put in place, like limiting power on the serves. I'm like, yeah, look what they can do with these things.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. In fact, I guess to counter that, I've been having a lot of fun playing with trainer paddles as of late, like the Franklin trainer paddle that you played and did a video on not too long ago. There's like, we now have nights now where me, my buddy Mo, Janine, and whoever, we all have one. And we're like, okay, guys, let's set up a game and we can only play trainer paddles. And it's, it is a lot of fun. Grant came over and we played some singles, and you know, you can't rely on the power as much. It's all like touch, finesse. It's, it reminds me of how pickleball was, you know, back in the day, like 2 years ago. And yo, he totally wrecked me. We were playing singles. He did the Batman on me in singles, and it was like he did a full 360. It like hit the line, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you used my own move on me. I was so
those Franklin
after that.
Trainer paddles are a ton of fun. Like the times really that good. I've used it with friends, it's some of the most fun I've had playing pickleball.
Yeah, yeah. And it, I think that's like, that was way more fun than having, I don't know, some juice to paddles to play with, you know?
Yep.
I think we should have tournaments or events where we just play with trainer paddles or like wooden paddles just to see.
You know? Trainer paddle would be sick. That would be fun.
Right? Like, because then that's really, really skill based. Like, and if you can generate power with them, like, you know, your technique is sound and that's great. You have an advantage over people. But other than that, it's, you know, kind of touch focus and, you know, your hand eye coordination and like how good you really are. I feel like that it's more in line with, I guess, what pickleball kind of is or represents in, at least as a paddle sport and game. But if you guys haven't tried already, like get a trainer paddle or even the paddle from Pickle, P-K-O-L-L, which is actually, here's the thing, that paddle is actually USA approved, where the trainer paddles are not, I don't think. I mean, I feel like they could easily be approved, but they just
aren't.
Don't need to. Yeah, they aren't, but those are a lot of fun. Don't sleep on them. You know, if you are sick and tired of these super juiced up paddles and you want to have some fun with your friends again, that's a good way to do it.
You know, something you said there, talking about how it's a little bit softer and it kind of reminds you of like how pickleball was before. I actually wanted to talk about that because playing in the heat with the Franklin ball.
Yeah.
I have not played pickleball this slow in I couldn't tell you how long. And I think that's largely because most tournaments I play or have been playing, they've all been Dura. So even in the heat, you know, they're still a little bit faster.
Yeah.
But I thought this pickleball was some of the most enjoyable pickleball that I've played in a long time at the US Open because, and there's going to be a lot of counter arguments to this, but hear me out. It was super enjoyable because the hands battles are way longer than I have experienced in a long time because it was harder to put the ball away. Overheads were easier to get back, so points were longer. Like it just, there was a lot more back and forth, like going into a hands battle, reset, dinking, back into a hands battle, overhead, maybe there's a reset. Like, instead of right now where it's like, oh, maybe hit a speed up and it just hits you because you didn't have time to react, or you hit a speed up in one counter and the ball was over. I was like, this US Open tournament felt like what pickleball was meant to be or what makes pickleball fun. And it's not like, man, I'm just going to blast a drive and like points over. Of course, that can still happen, but I don't know. That's why I like the timing of this tournament and these paddles couldn't have been better. It just was a good reminder of like, dang, maybe we don't want it to go. I don't want it to go any higher than the Yolas for sure. If we go past that, I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. All right, anything else you want to talk about with these paddles? Anything we missed?
No, as far as the YOLAs go, that's about all I got. I'm going to be playtesting all the productions more, and then I'll have some individual reviews that people can follow. But probably the bulk of the information that people need is in the initial video
right now. Yeah, I'll probably do a more in-depth video. I'm not sure what I'm going to say because I feel like everything that has been said or that needs to be said has been said by you, John, or Braden, either in a video review or a pod, and even like now here. So I don't know. There will probably be a small take for me in these YOLA paddles if we can find an interesting angle to kind of, I guess, allude to or talk about. But yeah, I mean, they're good. They're fun. I don't know. I don't know. If you have the money, yeah, you can go buy one, have some fun. But I can't wholeheartedly recommend them, like, just for the price and everything that they kind of are. But I wouldn't be mad if you got them. They're fun. They're fun.
Nope. Anyways. For sure. Completely agree.
Aside from the O's, I've been kind of hitting and, you know, I've received a few paddles in the mail. I haven't hit with them extensively, but here are a list of some of the ones that I've hit with. The Engage Pursuit Pro 1, I had like one or two games with that, and we'll go to a little bit of my thoughts, and maybe you can share some of yours if you've hit with them. Chris, I have the Course Shapeshifter and the Echo that came in, the Honolulu J2K and J2K Pro, and then I also got the HUDEF, their HUDEF Viva Pro Generation 3, which is from what I understand, it's just their Gen 2, but now with a Kevlar carbon fiber face. So let's talk about the Engage Pursuit Pro 1 first. I didn't get a ton of time with it. I would have liked to hit them side by side with the original Pursuit Pros, but you did a whole video on it. I actually have not finished watching that video, and I remember you saying you had some interesting thoughts about it. So before you tell me your thoughts, my initial thoughts on it without hitting it extensively and side by side was they felt faster in the hand. I didn't put that on my graffiti machine to test the swing weight, so I don't know if that tracks with what you got. I don't know if they felt more powerful, but there was, it was more responsive. I could feel the vibrations in it a little bit more. That's just how it felt to me, but the power and the pop didn't feel all that, or at least I couldn't notice a difference from what I remember of the original Pursuit Pros. How did they feel for you?
Yeah, that is pretty accurate overall to how I felt, especially that last part about the pop and power. So, you know, they claimed like, oh, it's a more powerful core. And basically, you were also right about them being faster to swing in their hand. They're noticeably faster to swing. They're like anywhere between 9 and 11 points lower than the original Pursuit Pro for swing weight, which is very drastic. So definitely faster to swing. And basically, I think that they retained around roughly the same level of pop and power that the old ones had, but now you have much faster hands because the swing weight was reduced. So it may technically be a more powerful core, because if they were equal swing weight, these would probably hit harder, but they're not, and they play pop and power wise about the same, but one's faster in your hand now.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know that what I feel tracks with what your testing, I guess, showed. The grips are better, in my opinion. Yep. The handle's much better constructed. The matte black edge guard, way better than the glossy. Although, it's weird because the thin version is still glossy and the thick version is matte. So I guess maybe they couldn't find a manufacturer to make a matte one. So I don't know. That's kind of annoying, I guess, because I would like to see the thin ones also matted. But at the same time, I guess now it's easy to tell if you have the 6.0 version or the original version, like the thin version versus the thicker version. So I guess that's okay. I still think their paddles need kind of a little bit of a facelift. It's that same design. It's been like that for almost, I feel like, a decade or something. I don't know. I haven't been playing pickleball that long, but that's what it feels like.
Engage's marketing is extremely subpar. Like, it for how large of a company they are, their marketing is, it's not good. Their designs aren't good. It's very outdated. A lot of it needs a whole fresh coat of paint. And of course, that's like the least important thing, right? The paddle needs to play well.
Yeah, but the paddles do play well.
Yeah.
The paddles do play well. Okay. All right, moving on to the next one. The Course Shapeshifter and Echo. All right, I didn't get that much time with Echo, but I have some thoughts on that. But the Shapeshifter, it's the hybrid shape, very similar to, you know, Double Black Diamond, the Thrive Azul, Loco Vatic Prism flash, right? But it has that 18K pattern weave that Diadem, I guess, came out with first. Dude, I really like that paddle. The shapeshifter.
It's good.
Yeah, it feels like it has, in my opinion, like the right amount of pop. It feels very controllable, gets good spin. Like, I could easily switch to that paddle. I really enjoyed playing that one. It was very, I don't know how to say it, intuitive, I suppose you could say. There's this nice plush feel to it, but just enough responsive feedback so I almost feel like I can change where it goes, like, on the fly, like, mid-stroke almost. That's what it feels like to me. So I really enjoy that paddle. So you played with it?
I've played with it, not a ton, but enough to know how it plays. And it's funny because, like, everyone who hits that thing likes it. John and his podcast co-host, Eddie, they've both hit it. They both really like it. I've hit it. I liked it. It wasn't enough to make me go, like, dang, wow, this, like, needs a review immediately or anything. But it is, it's like, it's kind of like, I think you said this about the Volaires a while ago. It's like, it's kind of boring, but it's like objectively very good paddle. You know what I mean?
It's boring, and that's a good thing. I mean, I could probably say that too about, the way I feel about the Core Shapeshifter is probably, well, maybe not. Maybe similar to how you feel about the Huarache. Like, you know, when you told me about the Huarache, I was like, yeah, yes. I hit with it. And I was like, yes. Oh, this is good. I don't think it's that much better. If it is, like, you know, I'm like, meh. Like, mid to me. And then the Core Shapeshifter is kind of like on that same like level for me. I'm like, okay, this is good. I really like it. It's, in my opinion, better than some of the stuff I'm hitting with now, but it's not like so much better that I'm going out there to, I don't know.
Well, it's not like revolutionary, but exactly. It feels good.
Right. And in terms of the Generation 2, you know, technology, Generation 2 thermoform unibody paddles, like, we are like at peak paddle right now. Like, a lot of those now, they have the specs right, the swing weight right, they have the grit right. They play very well. They're solid. They don't really break that much anymore, if any at all. I hear less about it. So I think they've really perfected that. And now we're moving on to, you know, like the Yola, the Generation 3 Yolas and the Gearbox Pro Power and, you know, whatever Carbon comes out with. And, you know, other companies are going to come out with some sort of foam type paddles. I mean, even like the Rhombus Ripple, right? Core Shapeshifter gets like a pass for me. I think it's like really good. Now I want to touch base on the Echo a little bit. I didn't play with it, but when it came, I want to, you have one, right?
Yep.
When you took it out, when you felt the grit, did it feel different to you? Like, all right, here's the thing. Mine, it wasn't the grit per se. It felt kind of gritty, but when I touch it, it almost felt like there is some sort of sticky residue on it. But then when I take my fingers off and I touch it, it's not there. It was a really strange sensation. I didn't know if that was just mine, so I was curious to see if you had.
I don't recall anything like that, so it might just be yours, but also maybe I just didn't notice. My guess is, I'm gonna guess that it's probably a one-off on yours, but
okay,
you never know.
All right, I'll have to ask like John or Braden to see if they have it. So yeah, that's that. All right, next up, J2K, Honolulu's J2K and J2K Pro, another hybrid shape paddle using Kevlar. I think one of them is fully Kevlar and the other one is like a carbon Kevlar hybrid, but like the weave, the pattern looks a lot smaller.
I think they're both 100%, but the weave pattern on the Pro is tighter.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I was like, okay, I'm gonna go hit with this and see if I can feel the difference. I really couldn't feel that much of a difference, but interestingly enough, when I hit them side by side, I felt like I always came back to the one with the larger pattern, the larger weave.
The Pro is more stiff.
Okay, the Pro is more stiff. Okay, maybe that's why I liked the regular one better. I like that softer, kind of more, I don't know, absorbent plush feel. But they were solid. People have been asking me to check that one out compared to the Azul. Maybe I'll do a comparison between that, the Ruby, the Azul. And I mean, like, you know, everybody's coming out with, you know, Kevlar, carbon Kevlar hybrids. What do you think about it, like, as a whole?
It just feels like it's, like, a buzz gimmick? Chasing. I wouldn't even quite say gimmick. Like, I think it has a place. It is a little bit different and some people are going to prefer that, and, you know, more options is totally fine, but I've said it a few times now, but the buzz that the Ruby got never felt warranted. It's not a bad paddle at all. I think it's objectively, it hits a lot of great marks, but it's like, to me, it was a more expensive double black diamond that played very, ever so slightly different. And then everyone went nuts, and then that has caused a big Kevlar wave with like the Mark Kinetic, the Honolulu J2K, 11624 has a Kevlar paddle coming out. Spartus is releasing one. Like, a lot of people are working on it. And to me, I'm like, I don't know why we're focusing on this when I feel like there's other things that could be being focused on that are better. But I think the Ruby did so well that other companies are like, well, that let's did capture well. Some so, of that.
Let's capture
some of that. And okay, I don't know. I'm probably in a similar boat as you, where I think when I get to like the Azul and the J2Ks, I'll probably do a comparison video because I think it's just the best way to cover all of them and see which way and which ones overlap and which ones are maybe slightly different. So
yeah, no, I totally agree. I can't wait to do kind of more of a comparison. I think if I think about it, like the J2 versus the J2K and J2K Pro would be a good comparison because it's the same shape, it's from the same company. You have one that's carbon fiber and then one that's Kevlar or carbon Kevlar. And I guess I'll do that maybe as well, like to really nail down the differences, because Hudef sent me the Viva Pro Generation 3, which is carbon Kevlar, but then their Viva Pro 2 was all carbon fiber. So I'd have to measure like the swing weight and twist weight again, because it'd be really nice to see two paddles. If they're from the same company, they have very similar swing weights and twist weights, but they use a different face, then you can kind of do a more direct comparison and you can maybe see, I don't know, the differences or the benefits or, you know, whatever else that might be different. But even then, I still feel that they play fairly similarly. You know, you can almost make them play exactly the same. They still use the same peel ply. If you have the same number of layers, they can perform very similar.
Yep.
I just don't know. If anything, they look cool. I like the way they look. I prefer the way they look.
I mean, they definitely look cool. They stand out in a sea of raw carbon fiber. One thing that I don't know if is purely Kevlar's fault or if I have just somehow managed to get the short end of the stick every single time that I've gotten a Kevlar paddle, except for the Ruby. But spin is always noticeably lower on my units every single time. Like, I tested spin on the J2K, the J2K Pro, the Azul, and like one or two others, the Mark Kinetic. And I don't have all the numbers in front of me. They're in a spreadsheet. But like the J2K Pro, mine was super smooth and it was like 1500 or 1600 RPM. The J2K might have been the highest at like 1900 to 2K. The Azul was right there. And then the other ones were like 1600 to 1700, maybe 1800. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, every single time mine are super low. So I don't know if it's the peel ply texture has a harder time working with the Kevlar surface, or if maybe I'm just getting smooth ones. Yeah. And, you know, like we talked about, there's that variance in pickleball. Or, I don't know which it is, but.
Or yeah. It could also be. I think it's now even important to consider that your stroke style could also affect how you generate spin. You know,
it totally could. The only reason I think it's not necessarily that is, one, because the Kevlar paddles don't play that different from carbon fiber, and then the ones, like, if I touch the surface, the ones that are more gritty the ones that always get more spin. Like, my Ruby was gritty. Got more spin. The J2K that I got was the most gritty of the other ones, had the most spins. Like, there's a pretty clear correlation there, but you're right. It could also be partially that for some paddles too.
Yeah, because I noticed that sometimes you change up your stroke sometimes based on, I don't know, the paddle. Like, when we went to the YOLO event, I saw you try to brush up, do some strokes that was very odd for you, where you just to brush up on the top of the ball just to generate RPM without generating pace. But maybe that's what you were trying to do because these paddles already fly, you know?
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to see that. And then also, each time I see or I play with John Q, you know, you see his serve or whatever, he really brushes up on the ball. He makes contact kind of high, and his serves have a really loopy trajectory. I'm like, oh man, John is really like trying to get RPMs, you know? And whereas me, I hit more flat, a little lower, but I can still generate a decent amount of RPMs. And it's just, I don't know. I'd be curious to see how much that affects, you know. I mean, sure, it does. It has to affect.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, how you strike it is going to impact it, no doubt. No doubt.
Okay. Well, anyways, moving on, talking about how you strike things. You definitely struck gold this past weekend, from what I saw, you got some medals, right? Or just one?
Only got one medal at the U.S. Open, so I played.
But it was the one that mattered, right?
That's right. So I played men's and mixed. Those were the only two events I got in for. I played men's with my brother Patrick, and then I played mixed with my friend Etta. That was a first-time mixed partnership. So men's was first, and we ended up getting fifth. So we made it all the way to the semifinals, played really well. Mm-hmm. And then once we got to the semis, do you know Will Schaefer?
Yeah, I know Will Schaefer.
Yeah, the Yola kid.
Yep. Pickleball yep. gymnast? Pickleball gymnast?
I'm pretty sure that's him. Yeah. Yes. The other Anyways, I played Will. I played him. Uh-huh. And his what friend happened? Aiden Sipe, I believe, and they knocked us out in the semifinals. So it was a big bummer to get that far and then obviously not make it to the gold one match away. But they played well. They definitely earned it. And then when we went to the back draw, we were also one away from bronze when we got put back there.
Ooh.
And we played the same team that we beat in the first round. And so I was like, okay. I was like, that's fine. Like, we won that one, so I think we'll be fine. But Patrick and I both did a really bad job hydrating that day. And oh, you cannot. No, yeah. No cramping. I've never cramped.
Oh, okay.
Never cramped. But I think I was hitting heat exhaustion because all of a sudden, like, my throat didn't feel good. My whole body just felt, like, lethargic and, like, my energy was low. It was just really hard to play. They played better. I'm not saying that's the reason we lost was because of that, but I wasn't feeling well. But they played a lot better in the back draw match than when we played them in the first round match. I believe it was, hang on, let me scroll down. I have their names in here somewhere. It was Nick Stone and his partner Thomas. And I think they beat us 15-8 around there. So they had a very clear win. But it was, that one was frustrating because I was like, man, I wish my body had been better. And then, you know, when you beat them in the first round, you're like, well, we know what to do. Just
do the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. But they knew too. They knew, okay, we know what not to do. Let's not do the same thing.
They for sure had to know because I think it was pretty obvious what our plan in the first match was to win.
And what was it? Wait, what was it?
I can't remember which was which on the team, but we just realized that one of them, their backhand dinking was like, if you just hit like a million backhand dinks, I could go longer than he could. So that was just the plan, was to just do that until he messed up or you had a high ball to put away. Yeah, it was a very boring match. I'm sure if people watched it, they'd be like, it's just dinks. So we did that and it worked. And I'm sure they knew that because it was the same pattern for like a game and a half, but they figured it out in the next one. And they earn extra props in my opinion, because to go to the back draw in the very first match.
Yeah. And make it all the way back to bronze.
They made it all the way back to bronze and they won the bronze.
Nice. Yo,
so that's yeah, sick. I feel like my spirits would be very heavily crushed going out in the first round. So to make it all the way back, I think is really impressive. And they played great. So they earned that win. No doubt.
Awesome. Awesome.
But yeah, as far as men's day, other matches, they were fine. That was kind of the day that we got acclimated to the Franklin ball. It was so funny. Like the first few matches, it was like you could tell you were getting ready for a counter and you would like miss because you were early. And I was like, I've never been early on a counter in my life, like ever.
So you jumped, they countered at you, right? They sped up, but you jumped and you landed before the ball even came. Like, oh crap, I'm ready.
No, seriously, back. That's how some of them felt. It was like, what's going on? Like, this has never happened. So that was like so weird to adjust, but it was like, I kind of like this. This is nice. And
that's nice.
I hadn't thought about this. If you live in Florida and you had to come to, say, Minnesota and play an outdoor tournament in 50 degrees Ooh. With like a Dura, it would be so hard to go from the Florida heat to this because the ball is so much faster versus if you're used to the fastball here and you go there, it's easy. Mm. Everything's easier. So I don't know. I wouldn't want to live in a warm state and then play in a cold state. I think that's harder.
Yeah. Well, but also if you're in a warm state, you can play year round. So you're getting so many more reps in.
No, but you just play indoor here. Okay, I still play year round.
Okay, you're right.
But I will say, hydrating is like, it should be its own event out there, because like I said, I didn't have enough electrolytes that day. I might have had like one packet in the morning, and then I just kept drinking water, which I knew was bad, but I don't know. So on mixed day, between every match, I had a packet of Element, which is 1,000 milligrams of sodium, which is a lot. I had like 4 packets of these, and I felt, it was hotter on mixed day, and I felt amazing all day. So I was like, why didn't you just do that on men's day, you idiot?
Yeah. All right. Well, you had a good warm up for men's day. I mean, sad that you didn't make it a little further, but you were there. You're up there. I'm sure you were pretty happy with your performance overall, getting fourth. I'm sure there was a lot of teams, so that's good. Shout out to you and Patrick for that. So,
yep, that was good.
Tell me about mixed. Who was your partner? Etta, you said?
Yep. Her name's Etta.
She's played with your brother, Isaac, before, right? She's the Batman player?
Yep, she's the Batman player.
Oh, dude, she must have been tell me, did she crush any overheads? Tell me somebody tried to lob her and she just crushed them.
No, her overhead is so nasty. I'll probably be able to find a clip. I filmed our gold medal match, which I'll put some clips of those points over this. I don't know if there was any in the gold medal match, but she does this weird overhead sometimes. It's not all the time, but she literally like bends sideways and just like strikes the ball at such a weird angle, but it's like always a put away.
Yeah, it's a badminton shot. That's what happened to me when I was in Taiwan, and it's basically like a scorpion counter, but in midair, like full jump, high as you can. It's really a sight to behold, because when you lob someone, even if you know it's a good lob, you know how most people kind of back up, right? And they want to put their back foot behind them and then jump up into the ball, and their momentum is carrying them forward towards the net. Yo, badminton players, they'll take one step back. They do this kind of like pivot step back. They'll jump away from the net, and then they contort their body, and then they slant, they whip the freaking ball, and they can angle it like anywhere they want. And it's crazy.
Dude, one of the overheads she hit, she literally got it in the kitchen and like straight into the fence, like going to the right. And I was like, crazy. How on earth did you hit that? I was like, I would have pounded that ball like center court to the back fence. Like, I don't know how you made it land in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it's like a lot of like pronation. So I do it like from tennis. I mean, you see me, I hit overheads, I pronate it, and I can hit it a pretty wide, and I'm like stretched out a little bit, right? But yeah, the angles that these badminton players are getting is just so crazy, man. So,
yeah,
no, she's a beast. I saw some clips. She must have been amazing. So she carries you.
I'll take it, dude. It's funny, actually. I told her, said, I think it was the day before mixed, I said, Etta, if we get gold, I will let you take any paddle you want from my office.
Oh, what? So, okay, you got it, obviously.
We obviously ended up winning. She hasn't taken anything yet. She hasn't tried a lot of paddles, so I'm just going to bring a bunch of like nicer ones and like let her demo and then, pick out what she wants. Yeah. So she'll try some out. I think that'll be kind of fun, but she's also tall. I think
she looks like she's 5'11" at least, or maybe close to 6".
5'10" to 5'11". She's like in that range. And I feel like a lot of people aren't used to playing a taller woman. So like she can take a lot out of the air, like obviously overheads.
Also a taller, like not even just that, but a woman with that over, like I haven't even played against guys with, probably overheads like that strong, you know what I mean? Maybe like, I guess James Ignatowicz, but still like, to be out of position to hit some of those angles is just nutty.
Yeah. So no, that was super good. Our mixed day, we only dropped one game on the way to gold, I think it was our second match. We dropped one game and that was... So we had a really good run. I wouldn't say it was easy. We probably only had one match that like felt the easiest. I think it was our semifinal match, and it might have been 11-1, 11-4, or 11-5. Okay. Maybe somewhere in that range. But otherwise, everything else felt pretty competitive overall. Obviously, it didn't go to 3, but the matches still felt good. So... Okay. It was a lot of fun. I will say, everyone was so nice. Like, every team we played, just great people, good sportsmanship, really appreciated it. But I think I've gone to the dark side, Will.
Wait, what do you mean?
I
Calm down, Darth Vader. Well, Anakin. All right, what's going on?
Am I? You know how my line calls are always terrible, but they're terrible against myself.
Oh my gosh! No, don't. It was your redeeming quality.
No, I accidentally. Okay, so in our second match, there's a hands battle. Ball lands near the kitchen on Edda's side, and I call it out. And the other team immediately is like, "No way that ball is out!" Like, and I was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" Like, I confidently saw the ball out. Like, I didn't even think about it. So I was just like, "Oh yeah, out!" Like, I thought everyone saw it. So they started arguing. It's like, I looked at Edda and I was like, "Was that ball in?" And she was like, "Yeah, that ball was in." And I was like, "Oh, geez." I was like, "Well, I was like, take it." I was like, "I wasn't trying to hook you guys." It's like, I just thought it was out.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to hook you, but I did anyways.
Well, but they got the point anyways. But then in the gold medal match, I was rewatching it before this podcast. I was just looking for some fun points. And the guy hits a drop shot to Edda. She can't get to the ball in time. And I immediately call the ball out. And I don't remember this during the match. Like, I must have just turned around. Yeah. But they like immediately like, what? And then they looked at the ref and asked, they're like, "Did you see it?" And the ref was like, "No." So we kept the point. I'll make sure this point gets put in the video. That ball is so obviously in that I am dumbfounded that I called the ball out.
All right.
If this tells you anything, so we exchanged numbers, me and the guy, because he was like, "Can I just have the video to watch later?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, I'll send it to you." And I texted him today with that screenshot, and I was like, "I am so sorry. I was like, I was not trying to hook you. I genuinely thought that ball was out." And he was super nice. He was like, "Don't sweat it." He was like, he wasn't mad or anything, but I was just like, "It was like, what is wrong with you, Chris?" I was like, "You went from generous to like terrible line call."
No. You went from generous to normal. That's what it was.
Okay, maybe it is normal, but it's not the normal that I want.
Everybody gets like, everybody has at least one or two bad quote unquote calls. You know, it's not intended to be. Like you said, a hook, it just happens to be a bad call because you saw it one way, and that's just how it goes, man. It's okay.
Yeah.
We live, we learn.
I guess. It just feels really bad. I don't know. Maybe it's because, like, more people are aware of me. It just feels like it will come back to bite me later where people are like, "Look, this guy's terrible."
He's a liar. He's a liar.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's going to be fine, Chris. No one's going to say that about you. All right.
Hopefully not. Yeah. But anyway, so got the gold. That was super exciting. I feel like, you know, U.S. Open, like being the tournament it is, it's exciting to get a gold there. I mean, there were 4,800 competitors. Like, there was a lot of flipping people at this tournament.
Yeah. So still run well. Good environment. Still one of the best amateur events you've been to.
It's not even close. It's the best amateur event in pickleball. Obviously, there's tournaments I haven't been to. I haven't been to, like, Beer City Open. But every tournament that I have personally been to, this blows them out of the water. They have good bathrooms, like they're AC'd, they're individual units. I mean, there's a bunch of different types of bathrooms there, but there are definitely nicer ones there. They have great food trucks. The food tastes great. It's expensive, but you can expect to pay expensive for a food truck. And it's just ran like a well-oiled machine on men's day. Yeah. We started 30 minutes early. I've never had a bracket start 30 early. 30
minutes early.
In somebody's fact, coming I was late
and they're like, no, it's early. Literally, why did they start early?
I was upset actually because I didn't get enough time to like stretch and warm up that I had planned for us because I was like, I've never been somewhere where they start a bracket early. So I was like, wow. No way. So that was weird. But then also, you would turn in your scorecard and you were playing another match within 10 minutes of turning that scorecard in.
Oh wow. Versus, I wonder what system. Yeah, versus like PPA where you wait like
2 hours. Yeah, it's like
even 2 hours great. Being generous sometimes.
Yeah, I mean for some tournaments definitely. So you know, obviously they have 64 courts, they have more days to run the tournament, but still, this is the amateur experience that I think people actually want and the things they actually care about. So I feel PPA like they
Grand Slam, that's what they expect from like PPA Grand Slams.
That's what a PPA Grand Slam should be. You know how they have, mm-hmm. like, people might not actually know this, but the PPA technically has tournaments that they call their slams. And I'm like, if you want people to care about those, amateurs and pros, do an event like the U.S. Open where more courts, like, more vendors, better food, like, more on the line. Like, it would make that slam actually a slam. The U.S. Open should be a slam.
Yeah. All right. Well, You heard it here first. I guess I don't know if they're gonna make that happen. You know, it could be. I don't know. I mean, they did the Nationals PPA combination thing last year. I don't know if they're gonna do it again this year. And I don't know. What if they do another U.S. Open PPA collaboration? I don't know. It could happen. Oh,
that's already not happening.
Why not?
It's just not U.S. Open. Or sorry, Nationals is being ran by USAP in Arizona, and PPA has their. I can't remember what they're calling it. It's something something championships, and it's the week before Nationals at the same venue that Nationals was last year.
Okay, gotcha. So it's definitely not happening. They're competing now. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll see who runs it better.
You go to one, I'll go to the other, and we can compare notes.
Are you kidding me? We're going to both.
Oh, God.
You're going to spend 2 weeks of pickleball with me, and you're going to like it.
Are you guys hearing this dude right now? Oh my gosh. Spending what? 2 weeks with you? I'm just kidding. I mean, I did that. The first time I met you, I spent almost 2 weeks with you.
And that's true. You did. Yeah. You did.
All right.
I'm going to try and do that. Obviously, I have to qualify for Nationals. So maybe I won't, because maybe I won't qualify. But I'd like to go to
another. We have to go to another golden qualifier, make it to the gold medal match, and win this time.
Let's do it. Let's do it. 5-0.
All right. 5-0, baby. Oh, yeah. Are we playing 5-0 now? Are you confident 100%. Playing 5-0? Okay.
I actually wanted to play 5-0 at this, but I didn't think I was allowed to, because last year I wanted to play 4-5 and they made me play 4-0. So I assumed it was the same this year, but I had friends tell me that it sounded like this year they were letting you sign up for any event that you wanted to do. So I wish I had known that, because I actually would have played 5-0 at this tournament. But okay. Didn't know that. So
All good. All right. Anything else you want to talk about, you know, or say about the U.S. Open?
No. I mean, I guess only other thing would just be thanks to everyone who came up and said hi. Met a lot of really cool people. I always enjoy, you know, when people come up and they say, "Hey, I love the pod" or whatever. Like, I don't bite, so yeah, I appreciate it.
They say hi to you. They also apparently said hi to me. So yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, guys, for saying hi to me. We appreciate it. You know, even though I wasn't there. Awesome.
Do you know how many people said like? They're like, "Oh, I actually didn't recognize you at first because, you know, I had a hat and like sunglasses and like a neck thing on." They're like, "I heard the voice and I knew it was you." Oh, dude, hang on. Yeah. I have one more story from the U.S. Open. So I was picking up my Hyperions and I had a contact there and he said, "Go to this guy, tell him you're here to pick up the paddles." So I go there and I say, "Hey, this guy told me to pick up these paddles." And he was like, "Are you going to pay for those?" And I was like, "No, they're for review." And he was like, "Who are you?" And there was a consumer. he was at the thing, and he literally looks at the guy, and he goes,
"You don't know who this is?"
No, oh literally. My gosh.
Literally. He's the reason why you have a job. Just kidding. Oh my gosh!
It was just so funny. It was especially funny because the guy who was the one checking me out did not care in the slightest. Like, oh my gosh. Just like, "And?
I wish I was there." I wish I was there. I would have made such a big deal about it. Do you even play pickleball?
Stop.
Do you not who this man is? All right. This is Christopher 3.5 at best Olsen. You are in the presence of the elite. You should be bowing the down elite. Right here, right now.
Shoosh.
Yeah. This man has his own signature paddle. Do you know, are you kidding me? How are you not selling these on your store right now? Oh my gosh, it would have been hilarious. I would have made Isaac or somebody record that. It would have been so funny.
I think I would have actually cringed and I may have had to walk away if that happened.
That would have been even better, you know? We don't have a story for the pod. I would have to find a new... next pod. Oh, hi guys. This is the host of the Pickleball Studio podcast. I have to find a new co-host. I was too cringe for him. He had to leave. Sorry. Taking applications now. Yeah. And then on the top of the application, right? It's like, how much cringe can you bear on a scale of 0 to 10, you know?
That is too funny.
And there's only one correct answer. It's 3.5 at best. That's right, baby.
That's right. Okay. Oh, gosh. So, yeah, that was a pretty funny story at the tail end. So,
yeah.
But no, right. Nothing else. You've officially made it to the kitchen. I actually don't know how long we're in this pod, but this is for sure a long one. So
yeah, it's like 1:40 already. My battery on my camera is about to die.
You guys might have hit like a bunch of resets on the Gen 3 Yolas. So congrats on making it to this kitchen. That was a lot of Yola talk.
Yeah. So this kitchen.
Okay. So I didn't have a lot this week, and it's kind of a continuation of what we were talking about earlier with the ball. But would you, which would you be more in favor of? Would you rather slow the paddles down, like less than what we have now, cap it at a certain paddle, or would you, let's say the Yola and the gearbox are the cap, and you would rather just play with a slower ball all the time, like a Franklin?
Ooh. I guess slow the ball. It just feels like it'd be easier to control. It'd be easier to enforce, right? That's my gut feeling. I feel like you'd say the same.
I'm torn. That's after playing at the US Open, that is where my gut went, because I was like, wow, even, I mean, the Gen 3 Hyperion 14 that I was playing with, I'm exaggerating a little bit here, but it felt borderline like a control paddle in Florida. Like, I had zero issues resetting or playing with it. It felt like I was playing with my Hirachi. That's probably, but maybe just a little bit more power. Like, it was not hard to use, versus at home, it's very hard to use. So that part makes me go, oh, the ball would be fine. But I don't know. Part of me thinks, like, if the 002 was all the more power we had, and then a Dura, I don't know. I could kind of go either way. But I'm very curious what the audience thinks. And if you've made it this far, definitely let us know in a comment down below. Because
yeah,
it's tough. I don't know. I don't really know which way I'd rather go.
We know something's going to happen in the future, right? Because I think you and I both agree that these paddles are getting too hot. The game is getting like too fast, where there's, I don't know, maybe no counterplay, or it's leaning that. So something's going to happen. Either, you know, they rain down these in these paddles, or the ball changes. We don't know which one it will be, but I think within the next 2 years, something is going to happen. Maybe even sooner than that, you know?
I think it's probably more likely that they target the paddles first, or if they, I'll be shocked if they don't. Like, if USAP or PPA doesn't take a stance by 2025, I'll be dumbfounded. That will be the biggest oversight in recent pickleball history if they do not cap some limit or have a new rule with exit velocity or whatever the heck they want to do to measure it. Like, that would be insane to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll see. I think that's it for this episode, unless you have something else you want to say. And yeah, was there anything else you wanted to say, Chris?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I guess I just want to remind everyone that I'm the host, Chris Olson, and this is my co-host, Pickleball Will. Oh, you know what? It's your birthday in a couple days, so everyone should say happy birthday to you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe when this episode drops, it might be my birthday, or it might be the day right before my birthday. Who knows?
I think it's the day before when it should be out. So happy early birthday. Thanks. What are you, like 18 now?
Yeah, that's right. Old enough to drive. Old enough to drive.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Maybe now when we do these trips, you can do some of the driving.
No. Nah, I'm all right. You can drive. I like to sit executive in the back and knock out. It's all good. Isaac can have shotgun.
Oh my gosh. That's funny. Okay, well, happy early birthday.
Thanks,
man.
And
we'll catch you guys next week.
Peace.
Later.